Will be in Luke chapter 24 this morning, Luke chapter 24, looking at the first 12 verses. And I know you just sat down and got comfortable, but will you stand as we honor God in the reading of His Word? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of evil men, sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Lord, I pray this morning that we would not wonder about what has happened. I pray this morning that we would know, have a revelation of your grace in our lives, be able to share with others exactly what happened in our lives when you brought us from death to life. I pray that everyone in here would have that testimony of being brought from death to life, knowing your risen life, knowing, Lord, the sacrificial and resurrected life of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, do this great work among us this morning. Remind us of these great truths. Stir in our hearts that great passion once again as we see you as the risen, exalted Lord that you are. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Will you please be seated? This morning, we're going to talk about the Savior exalted, but I want to remind you how we got here. The Passion Week of Jesus was not all what people would think of as an exalted time. We look back on it and see how God used it to bring power and blessing to all those who would place their trust in Christ. We look back on this and we see how Jesus was in control the entire time, but on the face of it, it did not look like a time that Jesus was being exalted. The week started out with his betrayal. We spoke about this a couple weeks ago, how our Savior was betrayed. He was betrayed by those closest to him. He was betrayed by his own disciples. Judas turned him into the high priest and to the Pharisees for money. His own disciples, Peter, who said, "I will never leave you, I'll go to death with you," abandoned him. In fact, Peter went so far as to deny him when asked, "Aren't you with this fellow?" "No, I don't know that man." The betrayal of those around him who wouldn't even follow him at that time of need, who stayed far away as he was being crucified. We also learn about the trials, how Jesus was brought before kangaroo court is the best way to describe it, courts that were rigged to have an outcome that would end in his death, how he was brought before the Jewish authorities and then the Roman authorities, and how no one could pin him with any crime against God or man, and yet how all were certain that he would be crucified. We talked about his torture, how he was beaten, how he was mocked, how severely he was whipped, flogged, to the point he couldn't carry his own cross. All these things make this week sound like a time of despair, one that we would never want to remember, and yet it's actually one we rejoice in. We talked last week about the crucifixion, how he died, and how the wrath of the Father, because all the sin of man was placed upon Jesus, how the Father's wrath was also placed upon Jesus, and he cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the Father had to turn his back on his own Son, because the sin of mankind was upon him. Our sin placed upon the Savior. But now we come to the best part. Now we come to the resurrection. Jesus died, but did not stay dead. Jesus told them that he would be killed and on the third day rise from the dead. He told his disciples this many times. No one understood this until it happened. And even then, they didn't understand. But the truth of the matter is the Savior is exalted in all of this. The angels appear and say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Why don't you believe the things that you were told? Why do you have to be told once again something that should have been what you believed from the very beginning? He is not dead. He is risen. This morning, I want to talk to you about that resurrection and what it means for you and I. I want to talk to you about the fact that now, because Christ rose from the dead, defeat gives way to victory, distress gives way to revelation, and death to life. For everyone who believes, who trusts, be careful of that word believe. On this day, a lot of parents would ask their children, do you believe in the Easter Bunny? That's not what we're talking about. We're also not talking about, do you believe that Jesus existed? Or even, do you believe that Jesus died? We're not talking even to the extent of, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? What we're talking about in belief is, do you trust that Jesus died for your sins, that there's nothing that you can do to make it right? Do you trust that even though you have sinned against a holy God and deserve damnation, an eternity of torment, Christ died to take away that curse from you? Do you trust that Christ who rose from the dead and has power over sin and death? Do you trust him for your salvation? Do you follow him? Do you surrender to him as Lord and Savior of your life? All who believe, all who trust, find that the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is the exaltation of Jesus that leads to victory, revelation, and life. Defeat to victory. Can you imagine what it was like for the disciples? Can you imagine what it was like for the women who were following Christ, who put their hope and trust in him while he was in the flesh? Who believed that he would lead them to a better existence, who even believed that he would overthrow the Romans, that he would take them out of captivity and bring them into freedom. Can you imagine what it was like when the Romans swooped in and brought him out to the cross and crucified him for all to see? Between two sinners hanging on a cross, can you imagine the despair that would have come over them as they prepared on the third day to go and take care of his body and give him a proper funeral, because he wasn't even able to have a proper funeral before the Sabbath began? Jesus was hung on a cross and they took him down. He died before the Sabbath began. And they took him down from the cross and put him in a tomb in a very hasty ceremony. There was no pomp. There was no circumstance. There was no funeral procession. No one was able to take care of his body. And they would have been, for those days, in despair that the one they thought would be the Savior of the world was dead. And the one they respected and honored more than any other had to be put in a tomb without even being properly buried. They would have been filled with so much despair they would not have wanted to breathe. Have you ever been to that place of sorrow that you couldn't even get a breath in your chest? That's where they would have been. As they walked to the tomb that morning, as the sun came up, as they're walking to the tomb, they wouldn't have been filled with happy thoughts. Sorrow, despair, and defeat. Have you ever given everything you had and it wasn't enough? Have you ever tried your hardest to overcome and couldn't? That's what they would have been feeling as they walked up to the tomb that morning. But what they found was victory, not defeat. When they came up to the tomb, they were confused. The tomb was open. Folks, this was not a simple process of just opening a door to a mausoleum. This tomb would have had a giant stone rolled in front of it that would have taken several very strong men to move. But it didn't take the Savior anything to have it moved. And when the ladies got there, not only was the stone rolled away, but the tomb itself was empty, grave clothes with no one in them. And the angel says, "Why are you looking for him here? Alive Savior, a risen Savior, doesn't hang out with the dead. Instead, a risen Savior takes the dead and makes them live. Why would you look among the dead? Look among the living for the Savior. Victory is here. Christ comes into our life and takes our defeats. Things that Satan has planned, things that Satan has put into play, things that Satan thinks are going to be a victory for him and a defeat for us. Jesus Christ takes, turns them around, and brings them to exalt God himself. And Jesus started with his own death. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says it this way, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" As a believer in the risen Savior, I cannot be paralyzed by death. Listen to that very closely. Some of you know that day is closer than ever before. And maybe in your flesh it terrifies you. But as a believer in the risen Savior who has had victory over death, I cannot be paralyzed by fear over my own death. Why? Because the day that I die, I'm with my risen Savior. I will not be abandoned to the grave. I will not see decay of my soul. I will be for all eternity in his presence. This past Friday, we had a Good Friday service. We did a secret church. And David Platt, the pastor who leads the secret church, gave some quotes. And one of the quotes he gave was of a man, I believe it was in Romania, when the Romanian government would take him and beat him nearly to death because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. He wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus Christ. And this man realized that they were doing him a favor. And he told the authorities this. He said, "Thank you for doing this. In fact, if you kill me, you will be doing me the greatest of honors because I will be with my Savior for all eternity, and all will know that everything I've preached was true and that I was not afraid to die for my faith. So thank you for doing this. If you kill me, the Savior will be glorified even more because all of those tapes that people have of my sermons, they will listen to more and more knowing that they are true. And he went on to say the Romanian officials left him alone after that and even went out of their way to make sure that no one would kill him because they saw the truth of his word. They take defeat. And Jesus makes it victory. I don't know about you, but I remember very clearly the day I was driving and realized that I don't have to fear death. What can man do to me? They can kill the body, but not the soul, Jesus said. I can remember when there were a bunch of carjackings and we got a phone call from someone talking to us about another carjacking. I don't know if you remember this, but all of a sudden it seemed in the 90s that there was this wave of carjackings going on all across the country. And everybody was afraid to pull up to a light. If there was a group of people standing by the light, you didn't know, would they try to jack your car and would they kill you in the process? And I thought, what would I do if somebody all of a sudden opened my car door and sat down in my passenger seat and put a gun to my head? And I thought, I'd be able to tell them, I will miss my family, and I'm concerned about their welfare, but if you kill me right now, I'll be with my Savior. And for the first time in my life, I realized I didn't need to fear death. Christ has brought the victory. But he not only brings the victory over death, he brings the victory over sin into my life. I don't have to fear sin and its control because I have a Savior that sets me free from that. I can have victory in all areas. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. What defeat in your life needs to be turned into victory through Christ and his power? What defeat, what despair, what sorrow controls you that needs to be let go and given to the risen Savior and have his victory take control? Jesus' resurrection not only brings defeat to victory, it also brings distress to revelation. Distress, confusion, misunderstanding, we don't have to remain there. God will give us resurrection and revelation. He tells the angels, tell the ladies, he's not here, he's been delivered. Don't you remember? Remember while he was still with you what he told you? Don't you remember the things he said? Don't you remember that he said that he would have to be given over to sinful men, that he would have to be crucified, and that he would rise on the third day? Don't you remember these things that confused you? These things you didn't understand. These things that when said brought you distress. It says they remembered his words. The words that Jesus had spoken over and over to his disciples and the closest ones near him, that he would be crucified. He didn't use parables to say this. He didn't use symbolic language, figurative language. He didn't use things that were hard to understand, and yet every time he said it, no one understood what he meant. He told the people when they talked to him about the temple, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised again. And they had no idea what he meant. He told his disciples, they will crucify me, but on the third day, I will be raised again. And they had no idea what he meant. In fact, when he said these things, the scripture tells us they went away sad. They went away confused. they went away distressed. But when they saw that he was no longer dead, they understood these things, and it became revelation to them. We see later in Luke chapter 24 how Jesus appears to two men on the road to Emmaus, and how he walks with them for a time, and they don't have any idea that it's him, and how he speaks to them about all the things that were said about him from the scriptures, and how he fulfilled them all. And then it says, after he disappeared from their sight, that they understood. And they said, wasn't that him with us? Didn't our hearts burn in us while he spoke? Didn't it come to revelation now? Didn't we finally understand? Didn't we understand that when Jesus spoke to Mary in John chapter 11 and said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. When Jesus said this to Mary, did she truly understand when he said, do you believe this? Did others truly understand when she shared this story? No. But once he was resurrected, they did. What promises that God has given through his word need to be made revelation to you? Jesus fulfilled the promises of God. He said he would be taken and crucified. He said he would rise from the dead. He did those very things. We know we can trust his word to us. He's not a liar. But if you don't believe it, if you don't understand it, you need him to reveal it to you. Jesus, through his resurrection, takes death and brings life. He brings victory from defeat, revelation in distress, and life from death. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why do you look for the living here? The Savior is alive. And because of that life, he brings life to those who follow him. In 1 Corinthians, again, the Apostle Paul says, for death came through a man. What death came through what man? Adam brought sin into the world. The sin of Adam and Eve brought sin into the world so that every human being has the same problem. Every human being starts out with the same problem. Every human being has sinned against Almighty God because we are human. You say, well, that's not fair that we get blamed for the sin of Adam and Eve. That's fine. Seconds into your life, you probably turned and sinned against God without realizing it. I can guarantee you by the time you're two, you have. It amazes me when people tell me how innocent babies are. I say, you obviously never had babies. And if you did, you didn't have my babies. My babies were awesome, but they weren't innocent. That rebelliousness that comes from being a human being shows itself very early in life. We thumb our nose at anyone who won't do everything that we want, and in turn thumb our nose against the God who gave us everything. And Jesus takes away that curse. Jesus overcomes that sin, and Jesus brings life to what should be death. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Romans 6 tells us we were therefore buried through baptism with him in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that we are now a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. In Christ, there is no more death, there is life. He overcame death and brings life to all those who give their life freely to Him. A new life. Billy Graham says it this way, our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. Do you know that resurrection power? Have you experienced that new life? What needs to happen to you, in you, to know that power, to know that life of Christ? Do you walk through a life of defeat and despair and sorrow, never able to overcome any of the obstacles in front of you? Do you go through a life of guilt and shame and condemnation, never able to believe that anyone would love you? Do you live defeated? Or have you experienced what it's like to give up your life to the Savior who died for you? Have you tasted the victory that comes from a full surrender to the one who surrendered everything for you? Jesus Christ died for our sins. But He didn't just die and be buried and our sin taken to the grave with them. Jesus Christ doesn't live with our sins. He doesn't keep our sins. He has overcome the sin and risen from that grave. And all those who place their trust and hope in Him alone for salvation, all those who know it's by His blood that they are saved, all those who surrender themselves and say, Lord, You are my Lord, You are my Savior, You are the one who has control, those will be raised to new life. And taste that life now and get to live in it for all eternity with Him. Do you know that new life? The Savior has been exalted. Is He exalted in you? The Savior has been exalted. Does His life show that exalted power through your life? Have you received His victory? Do you know His revelation? Are you experiencing His life? Will you bow your heads with me as we go before Him? Come before Him humbly, honoring Him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, praising His name. Lord, we come before You and praise You. We thank You, Lord, that what Satan meant for evil, Lord, You had already designed for good. We thank You, Lord, that You went to the cross willingly. For the glory of the Father, Lord Jesus, You bore His wrath for the salvation of mankind. You saw the joy in what You did. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for Your power that You didn't stay in the grave, but You showed to all of the universe that there is no power that can contain You, that You can do exceedingly abundantly more than any can ask or even imagine, that Your power that brought You back from the dead can be at work in every believer, bringing us from death to life, bringing us from deceit and defeat and sorrow and pain to joy everlasting. Lord, we pray that Your name would be glorified here among us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring revelation to every heart and mind that's here. And show us, Lord, do we know you? Do we have that victory? Will we spend eternity with you?